some time ago, I had a spiritual experience where I was taken into a room and I was shown numbers that were, I've never seen the likes, really. They were so far above my head that I couldn't have figured out what to do with those mathematic equations if my life depended on it. And furthermore, everyone else in that room, although they didn't see me, I saw them. Everyone else in that room was as flabbergasted as I was, and they were all bankers. So I'm standing there in the secret place thinking, if they don't know what to do with those numbers, how is the average American supposed to know? And I said to the Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? And he said, the time is coming when everything will change. The basis of the new economy will be as it never has been before. It's going to be something brand new. And even highly intelligent, highly knowledgeable people are going to have to learn to work with the new basis, the new foundation for what's going to be brought forth. And I didn't really have a sense, is this dangerous or is this not? It was just simply to let me know that this kind of transition was ahead of us. So here we are now in August of 2018, and we're looking down the path, and we see that the cabal is going to jumpstart a new control tactic. One of the things that has happened since President Trump was elected is that the cabal is, I know this is going to sound arrogant, and I don't want it to sound arrogant. I just want you to know, if you have heard this yourself, that it's true. The cabal is literally shaking in their shoes. They have been busy trying to find an antidote for what Trump is doing, what he's bringing not only to America, but to the nations. They're trying to figure out a way to stop what is happening. And so they want to bring about some fairly serious things. As well as we all know, trying to get rid of Trump. So to bring America into a place of chaos, I'm sure you've all heard of the term, the Hegelian dialectic, and what that means is to create chaos, which is thesis. And then they bring about the remedy. They bring it about so that it's their remedy, not our remedy. They will be benefited by it, not us. And they call that the antithesis. And that's where they are right now. They're trying to ascertain what is the most productive way to bring about this Hegelian dialect, this thesis and antithesis, the chaos and their remedy. The problem is that they don't yet have a complete answer. They do have some things that they think will work, but they don't have a complete answer. And it's important for us to keep praying confusion into their thoughts, into their plans and their purposes. So whereas they thought they had the answer, they thought that everything was settled and they would be able to walk through it and get what they want at the end. They keep losing it. They just keep losing it until they're feeling confused and they're feeling unstable and they're feeling unsteady and they're not quite sure what of their plans will work and what will not work. And part of that is coming because God is causing the confusion, and we need to keep praying that way. Secondly, the man Trump is causing a lot of the confusion because he keeps doing things that he's warned not to do. He keeps doing things that they cannot believe he would do. He's fearless. He just seems to have no fear about stepping into the untried waters. He's going deeper into the swamp, and there's like a vortex around him, surrounding him, supporting him, giving him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and prudence, giving him favor with those with whom he needs the favor to accomplish what God has sent him there to do. He has several mantles on his life, but he does not yet walk in the height of that which has been set aside for him. So before Trump really came on the scene, I was telling the church, well, actually, the first time that it came to me so strong that Trump would eventually become president was not this last election, but the one before it, when he started to step out and then step back. And admittedly, I got angry with him. I thought you would be God's lion. I thought you would be the fearless lion, and you're backing away. And I thought, how can I respect someone like this? He doesn't have the strength or the tenacity or the foresight to do what he has been created to do. But he backed off, and, you know, by the media, we didn't hear anything about what he was going to do later on. But the next time he came forth, I had already been spoken to by the Lord that the person he was going to bring forward was going to be anointed with the mantle of Cyrus. And I was speaking this in our meetings, speaking this in a few of the churches that I was going into. I was talking to our team about it, that I felt like Trump was going to stay in the race this time. And he would bring forth God's plan, and he was going to be anointed with the same mantle that King Cyrus was anointed with. But not only Trump, he is raising up an army of those who will function under that same anointing, not to the degree that he does, to a lesser degree, but nevertheless, they will bear the mantle upon their shoulders to work in conjunction with him. And I told the people who listened to me, I said, some of these people will not even be born again, but they will be righteous in their perspective and in their ways. They just don't know Jesus yet. They're going to see the need, and they're going to have an understanding of their part in bringing about the answer to that need. And somehow it's going to coincide with what the president is going to do, whom I believe to be Trump, if he'll just stay in the race. So please pray for him. Pray that he will stay in the race this time, and that he will see it through to the end, and that God will have his way and actually get him elected. I started having dreams and visions where the Lord would speak to me about Trump, and I would bring it to one member of my team or another, and eventually to the whole team. This is what I'm seeing, and this is who I feel like it pertains to. But if you see something different, if you feel something different, please tell me. And of course, everyone felt that I was seeing what I thought I was seeing. And as it's turned out, it happened just the way I was seeing in those dreams and visions. So we've got Trump, and we've got him by God's choice. And I think most of you on the line are probably pretty convinced of that by now. He's not perfect. Probably if we would have chosen someone, we would have chosen a nicer person like Reagan. But Trump is like the Lion of Judah. He's roaring, and he's the king of the jungle. He is gaining not only speed, but he's gaining efficacy. He's gaining favor. He's gaining adherence to the vision around the world with nations both large and small. And this is really scaring the cabal, because this guy is so different than Christian America would basically like to see, but yet they're standing behind him like steel pillars. And as a result, he's changing the hearts and the minds of leaders all over the world. And so we don't always understand what Trump is doing, but if we will pray and support him, God will either bring him back into the path, or he will keep him in the path, even if we don't understand it. What we have coming down the road is a revolution of world politics. And this is not a new world order. Actually, we're going to see much, if not all, of the New World Order crumble, because God has begun to intervene. And who can quiet the lion once he is aroused? He's begun to intervene. So there is a revolution that is being released, beginning to be experienced, beginning to be understood, beginning to be visible, that will touch the whole world, at least much of the world, before it's over. And praise God, because God has put his stamp of approval on it. It's not that the Antichrist and his system is not going to come forth. It will. But it will be in God's time, not in man's time, and certainly not Lucifer's time. We're also, many people are getting very concerned about an economic crash. They're getting so concerned that they're pulling back. I think supplying your family with whatever God puts upon your heart to walk through that crash is a good idea. But you can't let your waters of blessing turn to a swamp because you quit giving to God's work. We have more poor and needy people in America now than we have had probably since the Great Depression. And ministries cannot reach out and help those people without the help of the church. I know for us, we don't want to pull back on our program or programs that have been designed to reach those kind of people. But you start asking yourself serious questions when the church pulls back in fear. And I personally have decided somehow, some way, we're going to keep our hand out there to the poor and needy, because God will bless it. It's one of the most important ministries in the body of Christ. So we have ahead of us, at some point, it may happen this year, but I think if we pray, it won't. I think we can still put it off until the church can become more prepared spiritually and economically for what's coming. We do have an economic crash coming. And the Fed thinks that when it's over, it's going to own America. But I can't tell you strongly enough, that's not what's going to happen. There was a time when the Philistines were attacking, or at least preparing to attack Israel. Israel had been naughty, and so they opened the door to this supposed attack. But God had a plan. And the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant to the place where Israel's army was in hopes of strengthening Israel to attack the Philistines. And the Philistines remembered what Israel does when the Ark is with them. So they started shaking, quaking. They were terribly frightened. But they decided, their princes decided, be strong. Don't yield to fear. We will rise up and attack Israel, and we will defeat them. And that's where the Fed is right now. This is where the cabal is right now. Is they're fearful. They're trying to make plans in a fearful moment. They know what can happen to America if we rise up and seek to stop them. They really do have a fair understanding of God's power and what he's capable of doing. So they really don't want to mess with him right now. They just want to take care of America and bring us into submission. And so they're going to, you know, comfort themselves and encourage themselves to rise up and fulfill their plans. But God is going to use us. Don't be afraid. Don't allow yourself to come into fear. Think about this message tonight. Because God is going to allow them to rise up with the thoughts that they will prevail. But what does the Bible say? That the enemy may come against us one way, but he will flee in seven ways. So the Lord is letting them do their thing. They're going to rise to a place where they're absolutely certain this time they're going to win. When God is going to send his sword among them and dismantle their plans when they least expect it. So although they have devastating plans in store, they're not going to be able to bring the kind of devastation to this nation that they want to bring. God wants to purge and strengthen us. He wants to unite us. But he does not want to see this nation destroyed. He's going to cause us to become his battle axe. So don't fear. Don't give in to fear. Just pray over your family. Pray over what I'm sharing tonight. Pray over what God may be wanting of you. Pray over what you do with your finances. Whether it's spending it on the family, whether it's spending it on, you know, giving money to friends or whatever, or whether it's giving it to the ministry, pray over what God wants you to do with your finances. I want to add two spiritual experiences to this section. Being very concerned for years now, several years, we've talked about a lot of this stuff in the gatherings. I've been very concerned, and the Lord told me several years ago, I want you to study economics. And he told me exactly what to study. So I began to do that. So now economics is on my mind every day, and I'm praying about it every day. I'm praying, thinking, Lord, what will you do? Will you stop the advance of the cabal, or will you, what will you do? I don't want to give people a false hope. I want their hope to be in you, but I don't want to give them a false hope about your plans until I know your plans. Well, in my prayer time one day, an angel came and took me. He picked me up, took me over to Wall Street, if you can imagine. We're flying down overhead on Wall Street, and we come to a cliff. As we hover over this cliff, the angel instructs me to look down. And what I see is America at the bottom of that cliff, shattered like broken glass. I couldn't even tell it was America. It was in such bad shape. I looked at the angel and I said, how? How can this happen? We've spent years praying over this nation, years repenting. How can God let this happen? The next thing I knew, I was back in my room, and for 3 days and three nights, I had very little sleep. I just prayed and wept over America. Finally, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Nita, I am not going to let their plans succeed. America will go through an economic purge, but I am not going to let them do to America what you saw over that cliff. I will intervene. Well, praise God. So where is the fear? Where is the concern? The Lord already has the foresight of what the cabal is going to do, and he knows what he is going to do. So the next thing we need to bring into alignment is that the church will pray until they know what to do. The first being personal repentance. It's funny how human beings are, you know. It seems like the thing we need most to repent of are the things we're least aware of. So we really have to press in and ask God to prepare us in spiritual strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and prudence pertaining to the things that are ahead and what he will do for us and our family if we will obey him between now and then. The second experience was with the Lord. He took me up, and we flew together over America. Everywhere I looked, I saw dead and dying. It was the worst situation you could possibly imagine. And you might think, well, that was because of war. But it wasn't war. It was famine and drought. When we got to where the Lord wanted to release me, I am crying. Because again, the question arises, but we've spent all this time praying and repenting and doing everything we know to do to stop this kind of stuff. How can you let this happen to this nation? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Nita, I have shown you the plans of the cabal, but I am not going to stand back and let them have their way. I will intervene. That isn't to say that we're not going to go through some trials and tests, but he is not going to let them accomplish their goal. He is going to intervene. It isn't time for America to go through the strong judgments that the cabal wants to bring upon us. So, once again, we can be relieved. One of the things that needs to happen, and I began to share this several years ago, is that America needs to get off of the debt-based economic system. America does, and so does America's people. And we need to get on a commodity. That's a good word, a commodity-based system. And maybe we could call it a hard-based system or a stable-based system, a system that is based on things that are stable. I remember back in the crash so many years ago, but it was a drugstore that used to be a large chain in the East. I don't know if it still is. But the man who started that chain during the Depression, the Great Depression. And he didn't spend anything frivolously. He put every dime he could into expansion so that when the economy turned around, his business exploded. And that's the kind of thing we need to look at. Not being frivolous with our money. Personally, I don't believe in getting involved in the stock market. But if you have done that, you might consider getting out of it and asking the Lord for other places to put your money where it will be safe. It will be like saying hard currency. That's what we need to do to prepare for what's coming. Number six, the church must go through the purging to prepare for his coming. Do not grow discouraged. He is coming in restoration and glory. As I said the last time I spoke, there is such a great glory that he has reserved for these last hours. I can promise you the church has never seen the like. We haven't seen it in the Word. We haven't seen it with our natural eyes. God has prepared something so great that the mind cannot imagine. And he's going to place that upon his church to reach to the peoples of the earth before the uprising of the Antichrist kingdom. So we need to prepare through repentance. We need to prepare ourselves so that God can clothe us with his glory clothe us with his power, clothe us with his vision, so that we are seeing things through heaven's eyes. I can remember one time I was in prayer, and I was praying about union with Christ, when suddenly the Lord picked me up and took me to who knows where. It seemed like we went straight up. But as far as my eyes could see, and I could see like an eagle, thousands of feet away, it was glory. Everything was touched and filled with the glory. I was undone, awe-inspired. I didn't know what to say. But I finally said, Lord, what is this glorious place? And he said, this is the inheritance of Enoch. And there are many that are going to walk with me as Enoch did in his days, who will take part in receiving this inheritance and taking it to the world. So God really wants a church without spot or wrinkle. And that, you know, when you go into the Greek, it means cleaned and pressed. He wants us cleaned up. He wants us pressed so there are no wrinkles, so that he can clothe us with the majesty of his glory, to reach out to a lost and dying world. Number 7. I've been saying this for years also, but I want to bring it back now because it's starting to happen. But all will be fulfilled. The Clintons, the Bush cabal, the Rockefeller cabal, they're all coming down. God's going to destroy their kingdoms. God's going to destroy all that they have taken generations to build. It's like he's just going to pull the rug out from under them, and instead of bricks and concrete coming down, it's going to be like a house of cards falling, flailing all in the wind, all over the place, and none will be able to put it back together. So as you look at these people and you see what they're doing and how they're doing it, I mean, there's going to be so many more revelations. We've only seen a small part at this time. There are going to be so many revelations of each one of these families, that it's going to make you sick at heart. But don't be sick out of fear. Be sick out of sorrow over the loss of their souls. Because when God brings the house of cards down, no one is going to be able to put it back together. And many of these people who are part of these families have been involved in the worst kinds of offense before God that you can possibly imagine. And just like he brought down, the president of Iraq, but just like he was brought down seemingly in a day, and his sons.
Saddam Hussein.
Yes, that's it. You know, we over here in America had no idea the evil that was going on over there under those three people. But it was an evil so perilous that God could no longer handle the stench of it. It wasn't that we were supposed to go over there and just randomly kill Iraqis. What he wanted broken was the evil regime of Saddam Hussein. And if you could have seen about that man what I saw, you would have justified God. That's all you could have done. And thanked him for ridding Iraq of his evil dictatorship. But just know that before God has to do something like that, a man, a woman, has gone into a reprobate mind. They cannot be reached. There is no way, if he were to leave them on the earth for 1,000 years, that they would ever get saved. Number 8. Russia will still, in the future, attack America. But not yet. Not now. You would think that with the way we're handling Russia, that Putin would just lose his patience and do what in good sense he thinks would be the wrong thing to do. But behind the scenes, when no one is looking, no one is hearing, no one is knowing what is going on, President Trump is communicating with Putin. And Putin is helping us. I don't know how long it's been now since the Lord told me that time was coming. And we were already in the midst of it before I realized that this was what he had talked to me about so many years ago. Putin is helping us to rid ourselves of the Federal Reserve. They've already done it in Russia, and now he's helping Trump to help us be free of that diabolical system. But that's not all. Putin wants to work with Trump to bring down the New World Order, to bring down the Illuminati. And because of all that he has done already, that we have not begun to touch, he can help Trump. He can give him wisdom and understanding, and they want to expedite this war against the Illuminati and the New World Order together. Now just think about that. Two of the greatest nations on the earth joining forces to stop this horrible, horrendous cabal. I want to encourage you to pray for Putin. The Lord showed me in a vision months ago that Putin is saved. I know, he doesn't live like a man who's saved. But Artem, one of our team members, who is Russian, has talked to me about the Russian church. So it's not like the Western church. It's not like our church here in America. It's a church that is very much in need of a lot of light. And that's what Putin is connected to. Furthermore, he used to be part of a regime that was headed by Hitler. So there's a lot of darkness that he has to overcome that you and I can't imagine. Nevertheless, he has enough of the Spirit of God in his heart to keep him, to lead him, and to get him to heaven. So I want to encourage you to pray for the increase of light, that God will wholly reveal himself to Putin as much as he can tolerate, and that he will continue to put in Putin's heart a solidarity with Trump, and that the two nations can work together to rid the world of the Illuminati. They may be pushed back to something very small, but relatively powerless. now is the time to do it. Now is the time to intercede. And we're going to pray over some of these things tonight. I hope you've written down the things that I've shared with you so that you can pray over them in your private time at home. This is going to be, we're going to have some trouble, but you must determine you're not going to move into fear, because with the trouble is coming the glory. God is not going to be faithless regarding his people. He's going to be faithful. He will be so faithful that we will have what we need and have enough to give away. And the glory that we're going to walk in, the power that we're going to walk in, is going to be something the likes of which we have never known before. Let's pray.